This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
And it's open for business. My name is Jeff Sandhu, and together with me is Jason Lowe. He's the Digital Transformation Director for Cap360 Ventures. Jason, welcome back. It is episode 4 this time around.
Last time, right?
Yeah, and the previous episode, we spoke to one of your clients in TMT, and we spoke about, you know, doing a case study basically on how their journey in digital transformation has been. And of course, you know, last month was also the kind of like the budget month. And there were a lot of announcements and goodies. So this time around, we thought maybe we're going to peel out some of the information that was announced during budget, and we can sort of discuss how does this actually impact you in your journey to being, you know, in that journey of digital transformation. So I guess we got to start with the you know, the basic ones, the goodies for you to go digital. There were a lot of them as well.
Yeah, I was actually highly pleased that a lot of the initiatives that the government is actually doing next year is really focusing on, they literally use the term digital transformation. And the digital transformation budget is like across all fronts. You know, you have MDEX having a lot of, I mean, 10 million for like content, digital content production, to train micro digital entrepreneurs, 20 million, 70 million for like one-stop centers, digital enhancement centers, which the, they say the government's trying to build up. Because to today, I think they still feel that you need like this kind of places to gather people to learn and go through that transformation process. And then you even the HRDF industry, they are offering up to 20 million in industry 4.0 related trainings and upskillings. So we can see a lot of the initiatives, I mean, a huge chunk of the initiatives is used towards upscaling, training, the understanding the mindset, which is what I think we talked about in our first episode in demystifying digital transformation. Like I told you, it's not about the technology, you know, it's about the mindset, the strategy, how is business owners going to do it in the long run. And the government is actually putting it in a, I feel, a very correct angle towards to tackle this issue. However, what I really like most is how they're offering matching grants for other industries. You have from the manufacturing industry matching grant up to 2 million per company. For SMEs, you know, they say they want to aim 100,000 small and medium enterprises to receive 50% matching grant up to 5,000. So I think the point that I would like to emphasize here is because it's a matching grant and it's not, you know, a lot of people like to say government just give free money. Then as taxpayers, you always ask, where does all this money, where does our tax money go, going to give businesses that they don't see results? And when they don't see results, people start complaining. It's a next level problem again. But if the government is approaching this as a matching grant initiative, it means that the government have initiatives to try and support you. But they also want you as a business to kind of take out some money to do it themselves either. So then you have this kind of both sides of responsibilities of how you're going to actually implement these kind of digital processes in your business.
It's also like, you know, showing like you have the effort to do it yourself.
Yeah, correct.
This is a supplementary complement to your efforts that you're doing, right? Which I guess in your case, do you see there is that struggle of businesses who, you know, they want to do something in the digital transformation space, but they struggle sometimes with funds. Is that also an issue? That's why the government has came up with this matching grants.
So I've been understanding this topic a bit more in depth recently because I've been running corporate trainings and workshops on digital transformation across all kinds of business owners, from manufacturers to SMEs to retailers, and all F&B owners all come. And most of the time, their core, I realize, right, the core question that they ask is, it's not really about cost, you know, like how expensive. It's how much should I even put it in? Because every single vendor that they approach will tell them, oh, like example, changing your POS costs this much. Syncing your data to cloud costs another. Do digital marketing costs another. Then they got so confused. They got so overwhelmed. Then they feel that their money need to go everywhere. So even the government comes in at a very example, like the grants that have been announced have very specific means to it. For example, the 5,000 matching grant is pure for like e-POS, POS system related, e-payroll, very specific initiatives. It gives like sort of a direction for SMEs to, oh, okay, if I'm spending some money in the wild, that the government's going to support half of it, it's going to be in this category only, then it's easier for them to go on with it. And it's even easier for us, like consultants or let's say people to advise, oh, since this is how it goes, it gives a clearer picture of where the money will go and what kind of ROI that the company will get in the end.
All right. Why do you think there's so much focus put on digital in the budget itself? I know, you know, we've seen it's not a stranger that, you know, digital and tech is within the budget. But for this year, like you mentioned, it was a big initiative, right? You've even got like the digital social responsibility kind
of thing. Yeah, DSR.
So, yeah, and it's like, you know, it's everything now has the digital. Why do you think like so much emphasis has been put onto digital? Is it because we're at the dawn of like new decade, like you mentioned, you know, the fourth industrial revolution, there's 5G, and businesses, any kind of industry verticals will be affected, hence the budget. It's all digital now.
I feel partly because, you know, I think the government still believes in Wawasan 2020. You know, I mean, I have to believe in the vision also that, oh, Wawasan 2020 is coming. We got to be like a digitized nation. I mean, this Wawasan 20 was announced way back like in 2000s and whatnot, right? So I think this is one thing that government is hoping to achieve. And also like the adoption rate of digitization processes and softwares are still like ridiculously low. Even like, one of the initiatives that I think I haven't mentioned just now was on the e-wallet front. You know how the government is also trying to put in some subsidies for e-wallets, 30 ringgit, I think, right, Jeff?
Yeah.
30 ringgit per person to encourage spending through a digitized process.
What's your take on that? Because that would definitely, you know, get more people to be on board with e-wallets and get used to e-wallets, because we in the urban areas may feel that, yeah, we're
it's
so
everywhere.
Used to it.
Yeah.
But if you look in Malaysia's context, it's probably very low still.
Yeah, I mean, I was researching on this topic earlier on before this show, and I noticed that even though for us, like maybe because we're in KL and Klang Valley, you find it's everywhere. But in general, the statistics you tell us otherwise, still you haven't reached two digits yet in terms of adoption rate. So the government felt that through all this kind of initiative, like subsidizing, it can reach out to what you say is called the suburban, the a bit more not so city-centric areas. And they are collaborating with a few big parties to make it happen. So for example, So I've been starting my podcast series, by the way. And then I've been interviewed like GHL. They're one of the payments providers. And they also mentioned that because they have a lot of terminals not within the city center, in the rural, suburban areas, in petrol stations, in some kampung somewhere. And it's actually, you can just enable e-wallet payments just like that, because their terminals are already in all these kind of places. So this is what, when I saw in Alibaba in China, they did the same thing, where they just deploy their QR codes in the mountains, and then through app, you can conduct purchases, transactions, without, you know, the cash hassle and whatnot. Mm. So I truly believe it's a very good, strong move forward to enable, like, not only businesses right now, but the nation as a whole to adopt a digitized process. Mm-hmm. And they find it most effective if it's related to payments, right?
So the consumers will definitely benefit when you have, you know, a government giving you like a 30 ringgit allocation.
Correct.
In your e-wallet. But for businesses, they have a huge benefit, because now for those businesses that were, I guess, you know, hesitant in adopting e-wallet transactions within their operations, now that they realize it's actually really simple to turn it on, and it's actually easier in terms of doing their own financing and operations of the business itself. It's a lot more seamless. They will see the benefit. And that's where we hope that maybe, the duration of using the e-wallets services will prolong longer, because they now see the benefit into that.
Yeah, correct. And then they would notice that handling cash is a thing of the past.
Yeah.
Everything's digitized, the accounting, their finances, everything
can be
managed at the back end and everything. Then they will see that the benefits of this is very direct. Immediate, I would say immediate. Direct, they get their repayments daily, I heard. Like GHS is offering like repayments daily and whatnot. And then they'll, when they are more happy with this process, then they'll think further, how do I grow this portion? What more digitized operations I can implement into my business and so on, right?
And it's transparency of where the money goes.
Yeah, correct,
which,
correct.
You know, cash can be difficult.
Can be tricky sometimes, yeah.
All right, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about what else happened in Budget 2020 and also how best to grow beyond the region using digital. We'll be right back. My name is Jasandu, together with Jason Low, BFM 89.9.
Binge-friendly movies. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
And we're back, and today we're talking about the budget 2020 and some of the digital goodies that has for you. I'm here with Jason Low. He's the Digital Transformation Director for Cap360 Ventures. Jason, so earlier on we spoke about, you know, some of the I guess goodies in digital budget. Why do you think going digital is really important for you and also for like the economy as well?
Well, because one of the main reasons when I tell clients, the real purpose of going digital is so that you can experience growth. I would like to almost say instantaneous growth. Mm. Because example, like when you bring up about the adoption of e-wallets, it's actually an initiative that, let's say, a merchant has registered to get on board one of your local e-wallet players, and then immediately they get like cash returns the next day. The accounting process through that transaction become digitized. They can immediately see effects in terms of operations, speeding up operations, cutting costs through manually handling these kind of issues. However, another thing that I would like to always tell businesses that if, okay, like, you know, from the budget, you get grants to grow your business, you can very easily tap into the international market due to the advent of e-commerce. Mm. And e-commerce is always a misconception when they feel that, oh, go overseas, cross-border, I don't sell goods. I don't sell things to export, you know? So what does it get to do with me? Especially manufacturers, or very traditional factory manufacturers, they're so tied down into their local pool. They're so comfortable here. They feel that I don't want to go and compete outside. But you see a lot of kind of businesses doing B2B exports, of course, by Alibaba platform and whatnot. And then you have your services. You know, people are engaging Malaysian software houses, engaging Malaysian services to actually do things overseas. And you can only achieve this through proper digital branding, digital marketing, digital awareness, getting more leads from all across the world. Because why would you want to confine yourself to this pie in Malaysia only when the market is actually so huge? Yeah. The market is so big. You have a lot of like other economic uncertainties right now across the world. And we know we've seen all the news. So people these days, the trends that we see right now, right, is that a lot of overseas business, they're tending to come towards like Southeast Asia, where you don't hear too much so far political turmoil and whatnot. So things can be like done easier, transacted easier. And you can only get all this kind of overseas attention if you brand yourself through digital. The fastest way, of course. If not, how are you going to do it? You go, you fly over there, open a booth there, an exhibition, wait for the best, is it? But you can immediately kickstart something locally through all these kind of available digital platforms.
It's also, you know, for those who feel like, you know, they don't want to go out, you know, outside of their region, because currently serving here, the Malaysian market is comfortable enough. Mm. They have to be wary of the outside market coming into Malaysia and eating their own pie. That's the risk that they have as well.
That's one thing also. Like, I just actually heard a very interesting story just yesterday from another digital transformation consultancy. They told me that they have a client who wanted to strike a very, very big deal with an overseas company. So this very, very big overseas company is going to get a huge bulk of materials and supplies from this company. And they all this, how they approach it was very manual. I got to fly there to meet them, you know, meeting. But then again, that's dealing with the procurement people of that company. And then at the end, they lost the deal. And then when they found out why did they lose the deal, you know, they went all the way to a meeting with the manager there, talk, how to sell my things to you. They say because the boss just go and Google search, and their competitor appeared on the first ranking Google search. Mm. And the boss immediately felt that, eh, this other guy appeared on first ranking, they should be better. So the boss personally went and contacted the numbers, you know, all the address, numbers, email, all available online in their website. So they clicked the first search, contacted them, this fella straight away gave better rates, secured the deal. And this fella that have been, you know, going meetings all this while to try and gain trust from everyone, lost the deal immediately just because of a Google search online. Yeah, that's how crazy things are sometimes.
So how best to grow beyond the region using so many digital services tools?
So if one of the basic things I feel businesses are still not truly going on to, like you say, maybe in the Klang Valley region, there are a lot of digital marketing agencies that help you brand yourself digitally. But if you're talking about other states and beyond, actually services like this are very, very limited. In fact, most of the Facebook groups that I am in recently all are hiring digital marketers, digital branding guys. For real, like in demand, you know, it becomes like the next big trend, because they know that for all this to work, there's only two things, Jeff. One is you got to be good in Google. Like, when people search you, you got to appear there. And till today, a lot of people think SEO, they still can't break the SEO game. They feel that I search my company name, auto, first ranking, my company, SEO done. But if people search, like, finding a raw material for this thing, the other keywords, they don't appear at all. Mm. So this is what I mean by they don't understand that process yet. Secondly, will be through social media, LinkedIn, this kind of digital branding. Until today, I mean, in my workshops and whatnot, I still have companies that don't even have a Facebook page. It goes down to a very, very basic question of how well are you doing it? Even if they have a Facebook page, it's like dead. You know, few likes, their own family like it. They don't do marketing. That's why digital marketing and digital branding is always the first step that can immediately see results. Example, in Facebook, I run an ad. Within that one day, I'll get leads. You know, it's as simple as that, one or two leads also okay, like, depending on your budget. And that leads will immediately grow to something else. So that is, I feel, is always the fastest and most overlooked strategy. When the companies want to do this, they think about spending 5-6 figures on software, on back end, again, all the behind operations things. But if you spend everything on the back end and your front end sales requests all still don't come in well enough, you're back at square one, man.
All right. But there are risks, right, in terms of when we go into digital transformation in that journey itself. What's the risk during this expansion using all these tools?
I feel that a couple of case studies, I've never really met with a case where I brought the company overseas and they failed there. You know, I've never, but I mean, based on the case studies and the industry stories that I've listened to here and there, it's mostly about they attack the market without proper research. When I say proper research, it comes down to companies who might ask, I already got money, hire a consultant to do a full-fledged research. Should I penetrate into China, for example, or should I penetrate to Indonesia, for example? It's more to like very general sentiments. For example, you can, through social media, sometimes it can be as simple as looking online through social media demand. Type that product in Indonesia, then you see people's response into it, or type in Google search, a few tools that are available. Google Trends is one of them. This product in Indonesia, they will tell you what are the search factors, the search rankings, everything will come, and all these are free tools. And most of the time, businesses don't do that kind of base. That's why I call basic research process. You got more money, please go ahead, get a survey company to do it for you. But you can use digital platforms like Google or Facebook, social media, to understand sentiments of your product category overseas. And most of the time, when they don't do this, they spend all the money, like getting the warehouse ready, planning the logistics, how much stock to deliver, then all the stock all delivered to some warehouse in overseas countries, then it doesn't sell. Then only they figure out how to do digital marketing when all your stocks are already aging there. So without understanding properly about all this kind of demand, market fit, of course, you are bound to meet with challenges in Malaysia also. It's actually pretty same thing, right? Mm.
So it's more of like treating this business like another small little startup that's, you know, going around.
Yeah,
right?
correct.
That's probably the best way.
You got to do like a very small, you got to spend in small incremental changes to, I would say, test market, test water first. Yeah. And not like, let's put a few million there and hope for the best, you know? You got to try small, see the demand. A very simple strategy that I can recommend to audiences right now would be just spend like 50 ringgit, try to blast your product ad in, example, Thailand or Indonesia. Of course, your words got to be there. And then you see the response. Then from 50 ringgit, as cheap as 50 ringgit, you can already see, got people like, engage, comment on your posts or not. If your ad is dead, right, you got to change your strategy. So it's very small, incremental, digital experiments like this that can really save you a lot of cost and burn rate in the long run.
Fantastic. Jason, it's been a pleasure. That was episode 4. Next month will be our final episode. Like you know, time really flies. We've been talking about some of the digital goodies from the budget announcement 2020 and also how to best grow your business using digital tools. My name is Jas Andu and this has been Open for Business on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.